I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Good morning, and joining us right now, Cal Thomas. Cal's here with us every Wednesday. Cal, good morning.
Hello, Mary and Vince.
Good morning.
So great to have you with us. So Cal wanted to obviously discuss the election results in Virginia, New Jersey, and elsewhere. But I'm just curious, are you ready to get your pink hat out and go march in the streets because you're upset?
Well, you know, I think the Democrats were far more motivated. There was been a lot of anger built up since the election a year ago. Democrats thought the election was stolen. Trump didn't really deserve to win. They've been ginned up by fundraising and TV commercials and various meetings. So this was their first opportunity to make a statement. Here in Virginia, where I live, it was a case of Ed Gillespie, a good guy, but viewed as an establishment man who really distanced himself from President Trump, as the president tweeted last night from, I think, South Korea. And they just didn't really have a message, and the Republicans weren't as motivated. You know, the media, of course, the big media had this narrative written already. If Gillespie had won, they would have said, well, it wasn't really about Trump. It was a local election. But instead, we have this morning in the Washington Post, Democrats sweep statewide elections seen as barometer on Trump. Democrats jolt Trump's party with a firm message. For Republicans, a grim omen for the midterms. That's just on the front page of the Washington Post. I haven't even gotten inside yet. New York Times, Democrats score two big victories in Trump rebuke. Even the Washington Times, anti-Trump sentiment sways elections. So I think the Republicans, while they have a good message about the economy and the stock market and food stamps down and unemployment down, especially in the African-American community, need to switch their strategy a little bit. I think they're right on the issues, but this is being personality-driven, and they need to, Trump needs to pull back on some of these attacks, I think, which are hurting him.
In the president's reaction to this last night, he pointed out that these special elections have gone 4-0 in the direction of Republicans. And I wonder, viewed holistically, if you see those special elections that went for Republicans and now what happened in Virginia yesterday, are there any clear pictures about where the country is trending politically?
Well, it's hard to say. You know, you have this vast middle. You have about, and this is not new with me, this has been said for years, you have about 40% of the electorate, the people who vote, who are hardcore Democrats, and about 40% who are hardcore Republicans, although within the Republican Party, of course, as we've seen with the various attacks on Trump from establishment Republicans, they're not all hardcore. They're not single-minded. You've got the economic and the social conservatives and the foreign policy people all wrapped up in this tent that doesn't look as big as it used to. And then, of course, you're just vying for the middle 20%, the people who go back and forth. One year they vote for Democrats, one year they vote for the Republicans. But you've got to have a positive message. You've got to have motivation for people to get up, especially on a rainy day as it was around here yesterday, and get out and stand in line. My polling place in Arlington had a pretty good line when I went to vote about 9 o'clock yesterday morning. A lot of Democrats were smiling. They had their Democrat sample ballot standing in front of me, and they were motivated to get out. And you've got to motivate people, and Ed Gillespie here in Virginia didn't motivate people as much as Northam did, who won.
Also, you know, you look at, like, the comparisons between the nationwide Trump election 1 year ago today and what we saw yesterday. In the case of Virginia, you had two contested primaries, I mean, tough primaries on both ends, Tom Perriello being the more Bernie Sanders-type candidate. But in this case, Tom Perriello and his supporters supporters fell in line. They backed Ralph Northam. They came out to support him, whereas on the national front, you had the Bernie Sanders-Hillary Clinton division, and that division is still rocking the Democratic Party. I think in some ways, this was a story of unity on the left in Virginia yesterday and disunity on the right for people like Ed Gillespie and Donald Trump.
Yeah, that's a good point. And Tom Perez, the head of the DNC, just got an email in my inbox this morning. You know, he says, this is only the beginning. So the Democrats are energized, and I think the Republicans have to gin up something beyond just anger and hatred. Anger is not a policy. Okay, those of us who are conservatives understand about the establishment, about big spending, about high taxes, and all the rest. Now you got to start showing some results. I would suggest, among other things, if I were advising the president, which of course I'm not, that he start revisiting some of his campaign promises. He had promised the African-American community that he was going to help liberate their children from failed government schools. I'd start going back into the inner cities with a positive message. I would send Betsy DeVos out there. I would get the Children's Scholarship Fund in New York involved, which is doing a tremendous job getting African-American and Hispanic kids out of those failed schools in New York City and putting them in uniforms and putting them in schools where they feel safe and they get a moral base along with their education. And this is the kind of positive message that I think could be turned against the left. But, you know, again, anger is not a policy. We've had that for a year. People like hope. They like to see the future. This is what Reagan was all about. This is why he was so popular, even though among Democrats, some of his policies weren't, but they voted for him anyway, the blue-collar ones anyway.
There was another governor's race in New Jersey, and Phil Murphy there, the Democrat from Goldman Sachs, a la Corzine, won big there. He won very big, and it's not much of a surprise. But you didn't hear much from Trump about that race at all. I don't remember President Trump ever tweeting out in favor of Kim Guadagno at all.
Well,
he wasn't a factor.
Know, yeah, Chris Christie blew that. I mean, he was great in his first couple of years. He took on the teachers' unions, like Reagan took on the air traffic controllers. He was strong. He was he had a gruff personality, which you need in New Jersey and New York. But then he ran for president, and he didn't focus as much on the people of New Jersey, and people didn't like that. And so, you know, New Jersey being a traditional Democrat state, it reverted to Democrats. But again, you know, the Republican didn't have a real positive message, and it's an overwhelmingly Democrat state that Trump didn't win.
Yeah, and Cal, before we go, you wanted to wish someone happy birthday.
Well, you know, a man I've known for many years, I think he's the most humble, famous person I've ever known in my life. Billy Graham was 99 years old yesterday. He's now in his 100th year. The man has been used of God to touch more lives and to change direction of more people than anyone who has ever lived. I've had the incredible pleasure of knowing him for over, well, almost 40 years now. And I just wish him a happy birthday, and I hope he makes it to 100.
Well, that's a nice note. Thank you.
Happy birthday to Billy Graham. Thank you.
All right, guys.